Good morning, everyone. Oh, yeah, enter into rest, eh? You know, Dario was talking last week about sanctification. That's what it's all about. It's about allowing his rest in us cease from our own works. You look at, right through the Bible, Abraham, you know, he came out of where he was and he had to learn a whole heap of things. You know, he trusted in himself, so he lied about his wife, all that sort of stuff. But the more we learn to rest and stop striving, cease from our works, the more God starts to take over. So I'm speaking about that this morning. Strive to enter into your rest. We know that scripture, greater works shall you do because Jesus has gone to be with the Father. So that's a double talk because we're talking about rest, yet it says greater works. So what does that mean? The Bible says to cease from our works and enter into our rest. It sounds a bit like a contradiction. So why greater works? It's because Jesus has gone to be with the Father, and when we die with Christ, we cease from our works. We're now living in Christ's resurrection power. When Jesus was here, he was not living in his ascended resurrection power, but now that he's resurrected, so are we who live in him, and we receive the fullness of all that he's achieved for us on the cross. So that's why we can do greater works, because we're living in the fullness of the resurrection now. That's why Jesus said, greater works shall we do. Greater works than he did, because he's opened the way to the fullness of the Godhead to dwell within us, because we're living in his resurrection power. How awesome is that? It's our mind that needs to change to understand that. You see, and yet because we haven't been able to live in the fullness of that because of our carnal belief systems, we've just drifted along in life. Trying to make things work, we get a job because that's what people do, or we live from welfare because that's what life has dealt us with. It's what we believe about ourselves. Just going along with the flow because that's what we know. That's what we've been taught. That's our framework of life that has been shaped into us from others, from our family values, from our schooling, from life experiences, from people that have shaped us and said, this is who you are, who we are. I remember even as a believer, I lived just like this for many years, had many different jobs, jobs that I hated. Even though I was born again, I still had no idea who I was or what I was meant to be doing in life. Had no idea. I was a clock watcher at work. I was often sick with the flu and nothing seemed to really satisfy me. I had heaps of jobs. I was partially in my rest. I knew who God was, I knew his love, but I had no idea, who am I? I was on the treadmill of life, trying to live life to the fullest, yet I'd only partially entered into the rest of God. Even though I was born again, I had been so wired into belief systems about this world and about who I was, that I was incapable of stepping into the fullness of God's calling on my life. No idea. I was too fearful to face the giants in the land who were actually grass I was in the sight of God. Because I've been told I was a certain way, I was a certain person, that's who I am, that's where I'm staying. So I was too fearful to face any of the giants where God was actually calling me. So I remained in the desert on the treadmill of life. I had not yet entered into my rest. When I finally did take on the giants that stood in the way forward in my life, it was in the natural impossible circumstances. And yet God gave into me, into my hands, every giant that he wanted me to face. It's hard to face up to your giants. It's hard to, but you need to when God gives them to you. See, I was led by God to face my giant to leave my employment and go to Victoria University to study. All my Christian crowd of friends gave me their counsel. You can't do this, they said. You've got a mortgage to pay. Your mother's in a nursing home. How are you going to pay for her? I can't do these things. In the natural, you can't. But when God gives you something, you need to step into that. You see, just as David's brother in the Bible said to him before he took on Goliath, who do you think you are? I know your insolent heart, David. Have you come to watch the fight? I know your insolent heart, Peter. Get back to work. God is not telling you to leave your job and go to college. People will tell you that. You're going to face your giants. People are going to tell you, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You can't do that. Just as they said to King David, but King David knew he was called to face his giant that was between him and the promised land. You see, you want your promised land, you've got to face the giants. Don't try and stand around and walk around them. You've got to face them. It was funny, just on Friday, there were certain people that I had to talk to because I hate conflict. I'd say that all the time. But you need to deal with stuff. And I'm praying, God, help me to find these people. You know, how am I going to deal with this? And the two different two different situations were right in my face. It was so good because God brought them to me to actually deal with the situations I had to deal with. Nothing you guys need to know about, but it's stuff that you don't want to have to deal with sometimes, but you have to. So King David knew he was called to face this giant that was between him and his promised land. This giant that faced him off in the wilderness, and David took his head off. You see, you've got to understand, if you're going to take the giants, if God's called you to take them, you can walk in his presence and power and know that you'll take the head of the giant off, whatever it may be. You see, if we don't face off with our giants that God is telling us to, then you know what? We'll remain eunuchs in the kingdom of God. You'll have no courage to face anything. A eunuch was a man that was castrated, lost his manhood. He was emasculated. There are other words for this, but it's not my Christian vocabulary, so I can't say that. But that's the truth. When I did move into my rest and came into God's plans for my life, I found that the works that he gave me, I was no longer a clock watcher. There was no time watching, hoping that the day would hurry so I could go home. Instead, I'd move into the day with an excitement, with a buzz, and give the day my best. And I never got sick anymore with continual flus. You know, I see that with people in the world that have to work every day. They don't want to be there, clock watching. Oh, you know, and then clock, you know, time to go, boom, gone, you know. And I watch them getting sick all the time and all the rest. I've got flu, you know, all this sort of stuff. But if you're walking in the joy and excitement of what God's called you into, he looks you after that, and you don't care about time. It's irrelevant. You get so excited with what you're doing. So I would move into the day with an excitement, with a buzz, and give the day my best, and I never got sick anymore of continual flus. Why was that? Because I'd entered into my rest. I'd found his purposes for my life and not my own. You see, Psalm 127:1 says, unless God is building the house, the laborers labor in vain. God wants us to cease from our works and enter into his rest. That's what death and resurrection is all about. John 12:24 says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains the same. But when it does die, it produces much fruit, many seeds. The greater the death, the greater platform of influence you'll walk in. When taking down the giants that God requires you to, there's always his timing. So you don't just want to walk in presumption. Don't walk in your ideas and think, oh, it's time, I'm going to go and do that. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Israelites were preparing for war with the Philistines. They had not inquired of the Lord about this war, yet they gave a great shout to proclaim victory, presuming God had sent them into the battle against the Philistines to take out the giants. But God had not sent them, and there was a great slaughter of God's people. So don't just walk in presumption. You need to know. Timing and making sure it's God and not your own ideas is everything. I've done my own ideas. I knew I was called into full-time ministry years ago, but just like the Israelites tried to make that happen, years ago I was ready to take on the giants before me, the giants that God had not yet released me to fight. Timing, knowing when. Then we have the men who God called to spy out the land of Canaan. They saw the men in the land and they came back with a fearful report. They feared these men who they saw as giants. Because of this fearful report, Israel refused to go into their promised land. They refused to take on the giants that God had already given them. It had already been prepared for them in the spirit. They just needed to face the giants and step into what God had already given them. We need to know when God's called you into something, he's already prepared the way. The spirit has already sent you. You can just walk into what he's called you into and you know, thank you, Lord, you know you've got the blessing. You know he's going to give you it. Later on, we can see that the Hebrews realized the missed opportunity to take the giants and enter into the promised land. So later on, they decided to go and fight these giants. But now God was telling them not to go as they missed the day of visitation. Matter of fact, God told them they were not even going to enter in. So now they went without God's blessing and were slaughtered. Friends, timing is everything. The difference with the Old and New Testament, though, is God now lives in us and he lets us take the test again and again until we get it right. How do I know? Because I've done it. I've taken the test over and over and over and over and over and over and over until God brings me into the place and then you understand. It's so important when God tells you to fight and take out the giants in the land. We must do this or else we'll be made a slave, because a man is a slave to whatever's mastered him. You see, if you don't take them out, you become a slave to what you didn't take out. So we need to, when God tells you to do something, say, oh, I don't like conflict, oh, I don't want to do that. Do it. If God's told you to, do it, because he's already made the way and made the provision. How do we get in this place of knowing when to take the giants out in the land? By entering into our rest. You see, Hebrews 3:15 says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. For us, how do we enter into God's rest? Firstly, by believing in the one who was sent, Jesus. Hebrews 3:12 says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And as I quote often, the works of God is to believe in the one who was sent, Jesus. John 6:29, Jesus said this about himself, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who he has sent. That's the works of God, that's the rest. When you can get in the rest, then he starts to take over, he starts to show you what to do. When you have a believing heart and stop trying to do your own thing, stop trying to make your plans and work and hook up with the plans, you find that he has made provision for you to take you to take the journey into the promised land. So when you stop trying to do your own stuff, and that's all of our thing, that's the whole thing of sanctification, the more we surrender, the more he starts to take on his life in you and starts to take you where you're supposed to be going in the first place. You see, Noah was in the rest of God, and yet he built an ark with his bare hands that took somewhere in the proximity of 40 to 120 years of labour, according to different scholars. When we're in his rest, we find his marvellous works, and then we can rise up and do exploits. Why? Because it's him in us. It's his work. I know your works, says the Lord, the works of wood, hay and stubble. Be still and know to thy own God and come back to our first love. I've had a bit of wood, hay and stubble I've created. I don't know about you guys. Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Was God told you to do it? No. Gals forever pulling me up with that. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Was God told you to do it? Well, no, but it's a good idea. It'll work. No. So when we cease from our good works and enter into his rest, eventually God becomes full and exciting. The problem with all of us is we have an ingrained tendency to do it ourselves. Matthew 11:28, 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you what? Rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, something that, you know, we don't understand because we read that, but if you knew what they were, in those days, everyone understood that because Jesus was talking to them about oxen and a yoke. You see, one oxen had a yoke on it for a little calf, and what it used to do, it used to, in the field when they were ploughing, this yoke would be going along and the little calf behind would be going nuts, didn't want to go with it, you know, dragged all over the place. And eventually, because it kept going, this calf behind would learn to plough because the yoke was there. So Jesus was talking about that, but he says, take my yoke upon me, I am gentle and humble and lowly. You see, so they understood what he was talking about in those days. So God's ways and works are not our ways and works. They're higher than our ways. We just need to stop striving for position, stop trying to make things happen, and cease from our own works. Then we'll know his plans. Then we'll be able to prove our faith by our works, because they'll be supernaturally empowered by him instead of our wood, hay and stubble. I believe the problem with us as Christians is we can become followers of other Christians instead of followers of Christ. Because of this, we are susceptible to copy and follow the latest trend, the latest fad. We become defenders of Christianity instead of following Christ and entering into the rest of God. We repost what Islam is doing on Facebook. We repost the fight against gay marriage. And yet similar types of stuff was happening when Jesus was in the flesh here on earth. You see, he didn't get caught up in Christian politics. In John 5:19, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. But we find that the world wants you to choose a side and fight. Choose a side. But Jesus makes it clear right here in John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. You see, we're only sojourners here. We're only passing through. Don't get caught up and entangled in the affairs of men. Pharaoh is being raised up in this hour for God's power to be displayed again. You know, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. We need to be about our Father's business. What is rest? Cease from your works. Stop trying to make it happen. Stop trying to fight everything. Noah was in God's rest. Noah built an ark that took years. He was in the rest of God. He ceased from his own works and did the will of God. Peter had to be perfected, as we can see by his own noble works when he said, "No, Lord, you'll not go to the cross for me." And Jesus said, "Peter, get behind me, Satan." It shows us clearly that our own works that may look good but in effect are actually wood, hay and stubble are actually motivated and inspired by the enemy. Strive to enter into that rest. You see, it takes the work of God in our heart to not get caught up in the Christian jargon, getting caught up in the homosexual marriage debate, getting caught up in the Islamic invasion, the abortions taking place. It's true all these things are happening. We as Christians think we've won a victory when in Parliament they say, "Let's take a plebiscite. We've won a victory," or vote on the gay marriage debate. And yet gay marriage and the depraved sexualization of school children keeps on coming at us full speed ahead. Why? Why is that still happening? You know why? Because we need to go into the courts of heaven and listen to the Spirit of God and hear, see and pray according to the will of God, because our carnal hit and miss prayers are not going to cut it. You see, God has a plan. He always does, and he's on the throne. I believe the evil behind these political giants will fall, but the timing to take out these pharaohs are in the hands of God, not ours. So that his power can be displayed. God used one single man, Moses, and we saw a nation saved in a day. We're forgetting who sits on the throne with this stuff that's going on. Yeah, I see all this evil that's going on. I see all that. But we need to keep our eyes on him. Listen to him move when he says, not with what every other Christian's doing. God used one single man, Gideon, and we see a nation saved in a day. Friends, I believe it's going to happen again. I believe that same thing will happen again. I refuse to believe that our faith ends up with an enemy winning and it gets darker and darker. That's not the gospel. The devil has already been defeated. Jesus' mandate through prayerful intimacy with the Father was to bring heaven here on earth. Bring heaven here on earth. Let's not get caught getting darker. No, it's not. It's getting lighter. Kingdom of God is going to start to manifest more and more. Here's a word for somebody. When you think it's in your situation, it's impossible, it's finished, God has failed me, that when if you hold on to trusting in him, he will bring you into the biggest victory, a victory that will rock your socks off. Don't look for it. Don't try to figure it out. Just surrender to him and trust. Though it tarries, wait for it because it's coming. Just trust. It's coming. When Jesus was crucified, Peter and the others thought, that's it, it's all over, he's dead, crucified on a cross. They thought it was finished, and so they went back fishing. Don't give up. Don't go back fishing. Never stop believing, because through everything you go through, God has already provided a blessing in your wilderness times if you just wait and rest in him. Pharaoh is being raised up so that God can and will demonstrate and show his power. Isaiah 66:8 speaks of a nation being saved in a day. I sincerely, wholeheartedly believe these days are coming again. Satan thought he'd won when Jesus was crucified. It looked black, it looked bleak, yet it was the most awesome unfolding of God's plan right through the history of mankind. But for his people, he wants us to enter into the rest, to cease from our works and learn the heart of the Father, not the heart of other Christians that have not learned to enter into their rest either. I'm still learning, but the more he shows me, the more he tells me to be silent on political issues. Because it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Be still and know that he is God. Now, I'm not saying don't vote. That's foolish. I'm voting family first, if you must know that. But, you know, that's another story. Oh, he didn't want to know. Okay. Well, there we have it. I'll put it out there. All these things that are happening are in God's perfect plan of redemption. You don't think when Jesus was on the earth, he didn't see all of this every day. Of course he did. He only did what he saw his Father do, though. You want to be effective? Cease from your works and allow his plans to live in you. Eyes like flint on Christ. Eyes like flint on him. The more you can learn to cease from your works, the more he'll start to move through you powerfully and do what you're called to do. In Matthew 13:39, it says that the angels are harvesters. Not us. The angels. The angels are sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14, therefore angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who inherit salvation. John 6:44, no one can come to the Father, No one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father who sent me draws him. We're called to make disciples out of the ones that the Father has drawn to Jesus. Jesus didn't just choose anyone to be his disciple. You were chosen. You didn't choose him, he chose you. He first loved you. He started this relationship in the first place. So get over it. He said to fishermen, follow me. To tax collectors, follow me. They dropped everything and followed him. Why? Because just like Apostle Peter, flesh and blood, man's wisdom and good preaching or Bible bashing didn't cut it. The Spirit of God drew Jesus' disciples to him. Did you know if we just preach to people, they can't hear us anyway? You witness to people if you're Jesus-following lifestyle, and because of that, you find that Jesus then puts you in places where you're able to speak to the people that God wants you to minister to. No, it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed who Jesus was to fishermen, tax collectors, to drug traffickers and alcoholics. It was the Father in heaven. Is he calling you? Then come follow him. Everything else is rubbish anyway. Forget lobbying parliament. We need to stop thinking we have to do and instead just be. Be one of God's beloved sons. A whole movement, multitudes have been saved in Africa through Heidi Baker's ministry. Why? Did she petition the government over there? Did she lobby for better living conditions? Of course not. The witch doctors and the Muslims wanted to kill her. They couldn't. And she just loved them back. Heidi Baker's life with God is based on one thing, and that's intimacy with God, and the fruit has been the lost, broken souls. We get it back to front. The lost, broken souls are multitudes of Africans getting saved. Stop following the Christian crowd and start following him. We can't do anything without him anyway. I had grand ideas for many years, and God broke me a few years ago. And one morning he said to me, he wanted two things from me. Love God and love people. That's it, period. Well, I've been on a journey learning that he has done amazing, incredible things since I obeyed. As I play this response song, let's be still and know that God is God this morning. Lay down our ideas and embrace his rest. Ask him to help us to enter into his rest, because that's where the key is, that's where the plans are, that's where his plans, not our plans.